the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Prime Evening News for today, Wednesday, March 13th, in the headlines. Electoral Reform Coalition Public Relations Officer Washburn Coffey laments that the DLP regime has failed to meet several promised deadlines. Dates for implementing a comprehensive electoral reforms.
Only on Q95, the big station.
A United Nations agency warns of a looming imminent descent into severe hunger crisis in Haiti, which coincides with Prime Minister Ariel Henry's resignation on Monday. And prison inmates have initiated a hunger strike in Italy due to inadequate sanitation and overcrowding in prison facilities, adding to series of protests across the country's correctional facilities.
Big station.
Details coming up next.
.com. Right on cue.
Washburn Coffey, the public relations officer of the Electoral Reform Coalition, highlights concerning over the DLP government's handling of electoral reform in Dominica. He observed in pattern of missed deadlines in delivering comprehensive electoral reforms promised to the Dominican people. Coffey emphasized the critical role of electoral reform in protecting the country's democracy and urged the government to prioritize this issue.
What we see happening in terms of on the ground, in terms of the government position and status on electoral reform, is that every time that they give their own deadlines, they seem to be callously missing it. We were told that electoral reform most likely would be with us around the first quarter of this year. But in terms of recent utterances that I have been aware of, we are here in talk about maybe around budget time or before budget. So I think this is a very callous approach. The important factor here, I think, is that the government need to recognize that the implementation of any project of activity, timelines and timing, is a very critical factor. If you plan a project to be done in 6 months and you deliver it in 3 years, 10 years, I mean, where is the effectiveness? Where is the efficiency? And by that time, costs may go up. Mm-hmm. And since we are dealing with a matter that is a national matter, so very sensitive, people are coming to the point of almost frustration. Because every time we believe we are coming to a point of contention, a point of agreement, then the goalposts are being moved, you know, and this may draw the citizenry to frustration. And when people are frustrated, anything could happen.
Coffey emphasized the significance of educating and raising awareness among the Dominican population. He stressed that informed decision-making is crucial as regards the current electoral process challenges facing the country.
This is where we are, and we are bringing this education to the people. The education process, the sensitization, building awareness, we believe is very important, because if people are informed, then we believe that will enable them to take the proper decision in relation to dealing with those, with the particular problem that exists. And I just want to underline that we are talking about electoral reform, and we must not see it as an abstract thing, because it is very critical to free and fair elections, to our rule of law, governance, our democratic process. So this is not a thing we can just deal with on a childish basis. As we are indicating on our release, the time for these childish games is really undermining our rights as a people, and it's time for it to stop.
And that was Washburn Coffey, public relations officer of the Electoral Reform Coalition. On Thursday, the Ministry of Education will spotlight the implementation of solar power and battery energy storage systems at two primary schools, Mount Prosper and Pebush. These schools also serve as crucial hurricane shelters. these initiatives marks a significant stride towards achieving the national objective of full climate resilience. With collaborative support from the Clara Lionel Foundation and the Rocky Mountain Institute, microgrids have been installed to provide solar power and battery energy storage. These systems ensure reliable energy supply during normal operational hours and critical disruptions such as hurricanes. The Dominica School's microgrid project involves the reconstruction of Mount Prosper Primary School and Pierbrush Primary School, both severely affected by Hurricane Maria in 2017. Resilient energy systems have been installed to create safe learning environment for students and dependable hurricane shelters for the communities they serve. This model initiative is expected to inspire similar projects locally and throughout the Caribbean region. The Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation has officially introduced the Zero Waste Adopt a School program as part of the Recycle OECS project on the island. The initiative involves 47 school environments and 4-H clubs and 39 businesses collaborating to promote recycling among students and businesses. Public Relations Officer of the Dominica Solid Waste Management, Rhoda St. John, explains that Dominica was chosen to participate in the project due to being the sole Caribbean island with a curbing site mechanism in place, further serving as a model for the project for the rest of the Caribbean region.
The Recycle OECS demonstration project is one that started up last year. It was launched in Dominica in June, where Dominica and Grenada are the only islands selected to run the Recycle OECS demonstration project. At the end of 2024, whatever it is that we model in relation to the project, the rest of the Caribbean islands have to follow. Dominica, one of the reasons that Dominica was selected to be the demonstration project, we are the only Caribbean island that actually has a curbside collection system. And what that means is that Dominica is then the only to spearhead and to be the pilot and model for the rest of the Caribbean islands. And to that, we ought to say thank you. There are a number of initiatives that will come out of this project. One is the reason why you're here today. The Zero Waste Adopt Environmental Clubs and 4-H Clubs within the primary and secondary schools, where we are able to come in and teach you on recycling. What do you recycle? How do you recycle? When do you recycling involves your plastic bottles, glass bottles, tin cans, and even composting. And because of composting, we go a step further. So the recycling program is, this is what encompasses our recycling program.
St. John added that beyond school premises, the Zero Waste Adopt a School initiative will collaborate with stakeholders to eradicate industrial plastic from the waters. She urged individuals to refrain from littering the environment with garbage.
Outside of the school, the Zero Waste Adopt a School initiative, we will be working with Just Pure Plastics in our open waters. And that means whenever we buy our and you see it out into the environment, we need to learn to stop throw our garbage and our waste in the environment. And that is one of the reasons why the project. I want to say thank you to each and every one of the schools that are here, the businesses that has come on board. Solid Waste cannot do it alone. It is too much for us to do alone. So we got our partners involved and the businesses have come on board and adopted your clubs so that we can work with you. Some of the initiatives that we'll be doing under the project is when we come into your schools and we teach you, we'll be doing the Cleaner Mile program. From the Cleaner Mile program, we'll be doing the debris tracking app training. We're gonna work with the schools. There'll be competitions, the Knowledge Bowl on environment. And we want to go a step further where the students can now collect the plastic bottle. We'll pick up those recyclables from your school. When we pick up the recyclables from your school, we will be counting every bag that's collected from your school. And an incentive, the school that has the most bottles in any given month, we will give you tokens for collecting these plastic bottles. Anything and everything to get the plastic out of the environment, we're going to come up with solutions. And these are just some of the solutions that we're coming up with to be able to get our recyclables under control in the society.
And that was a public relations officer of the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation, Rhoda St. John. The Electoral Reform Coalition is extending its campaign for comprehensive electoral reform to the Grand Bay community on Lally, scheduled for Sunday, March 17, 2024, from 4:30 p.m. This community gathering in Grand Bay is part of the ERC's ongoing efforts to inform, raise awareness, sensitize, and educate the Dominican public, including the residents of Grand Bay, about the critical need for comprehensive electoral reform. Building upon previous successful events featuring Senator Anil Roberts of Trinidad and Tobago and the recent unity meeting of ERC affiliates, the Grand Bay event aims to further engage the community on this pressing issue, expressing dissatisfaction with the government's lack of urgency in addressing electoral reform. The ERC highlights the failure to deliver despite significant investments in human and financial resources and prolonged time devoted to the process. This, they argue, deprives the public of effective utilization of their taxes. The ERC emphasizes the importance of the battle for electoral reform, free and fair elections, good governance, and the protection of democracy. They call upon the people of Grand Bay, historically significant in their fight for Dominica's political independence, to raise their voices for free and fair elections in the country. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95da.com. Donaldson Frederick, the Kalinago Development Officer, revealed that as part of the Engender project, a resilient internet network measure has been established in the community. This measure aims to facilitate easier reconnection in the event of a natural disaster. Additionally, he highlighted that the ministry conducted a livelihood assessment, emphasizing the importance of this initiative, noting that it addressed a gap in recommendations implemented compared to other assessment measures.
On the one of our project, Engender, Engender supported the Kalinago Wi-Fi network. So there's a Wi-Fi network that we have in the Kalinago territory that we've been working on. The network is a standalone system made of nodes which can be taken down during storms and reinstalled after the event. This system can also be used in Transnet to facilitate communication within the community. Under the Engender project, we were also able to conduct a livelihood assessment. And out of that livelihood assessment report, we were able to undertake a workshop in wood carving. And this is very critical for us because a number of times we have consultants coming into the Kalinago territory, developing a report, and then there's no implementation of the recommendations made. And critically for us under this project, we were able to successfully implement this workshop and impact 12 young individuals in this training. We had 6 women and 6 men participating in this training. At the end of the training, participants received packages of equipped tools and equipment value over $1,000 and other equipment to continue the work that they've started.
Frederick elaborated that within the framework of the Sustainable Livelihoods Project, the ministry ensured active participation of the Kalinago territory residents in all project components.
We've also conducted a project which titled Strengthening Sustainable Livelihoods and Resilience in the Kalinago Territory. And of course, we were able to take this initiative to the next level, whereby we ensured that at the grassroots level, the residents of the Kalinago Territory participated in that program fully. And so we were able to plant 9,000 forest and food trees. On average, 40 individuals were employed under this project, with 55% being women.
And that was Donaldson Frederick, Kalinago Development Officer in the Ministry of Kalinago Upliftment. The French West Indies business cruise mission held at the Alliance Française de la Dominique showed promising outcomes for trade and investment collaboration. Organized by Alliance Française de la Dominique and Isanaja Consulting of Guadeloupe, it fostered productive discussions with local MSMEs and organizations, exploring investment opportunities in Dominica and the wider FW region. Investment opportunities in Dominica. Isabella Adonis Fladrina from Isanaja Consulting expressed satisfaction with the warm reception in Dominica, their second visit since 2020. She eagerly awaits the outcomes of these engagements, optimistic about strengthening connections between the French Islands and Dominica.
Really, we came from the Caribbean business cruise, composed with people from St. Martin, from Martinique, from Guadeloupe, and we have one people coming directly from Paris. He's originally from Africa, and he came specially for the Caribbean business cruise. So we have a great welcoming in Dominica. Really, it is the second time. We came in 2020, and everything shut down with the COVID. So today we are now to really begin to restart the business, restart all the links we have before, and this time it will be the good time, I can assure you, really. So the contacts are very positive, and the discussion is very positive, and as Darren said, we really think that it could be possible to make a bridge between French Island and Dominica. We are here for this.
Isabel Adonis Fladrina from Isanaja Consulting. Meanwhile, Imela Andrew, representing Healthy Islander, expressed optimism after the exercise, noting positive interactions. She highlighted the French participants' interest in their products, not only for business but also personal use.
My name is Emmanuel Andrew, and I'm here representing Healthy Islander. Healthy Islander is directly associated with Sister Nats, who is a well-known health and wellness consultant and agro-processor on island. Basically, at Healthy Islander, we do health and wellness supplies, also consultation and education. Today, I'm here with a range of products that we have from Healthy Islander, to include detox packages, our well-known garlic syrup, which has become a household name in Dominica right now. I also have male and female reproduction care packs, capsules made from many different herbs that we have in Dominica, just to name a few of the items that I have right now. So far, the interaction with the French people has been good. You know, a lot of them are interested in the products that we have, and even more so personally for themselves, apart from business. A lot of them are looking to buy in bulk to resell. We have people here who own supermarkets, etc., people who just want to invest. So what we're doing right now is sharing contact information with them, and we'll see where it takes us.
Emmanuel Andrew, representing Healthy Islander. In other news, admits the Prime Minister Ariel Henry's resignation on Monday. A warning from a United Nations agency signals Haiti's imminent descent into severe hunger crisis. According to the UN World Food Programme, aid operations face the threat of disruption due to widespread violence gripping the nation's capital, Port-au-Prince. An official UN statement highlights the tightening control of main roads by armed gangs exacerbating the crisis. The surge in gang violence has displaced over 360,000 Haitians, with more than half of them being children. Additionally, approximately 35,000 people have fled their homes since the start of the 2024, seeking refuge from the escalating turmoil. The situation is compounded by shortages of essential goods and resources, further straining Haiti's already fragile economy. UN spokesperson Stephanie Durayk noted that vital services, including water access, are being stretched into their limits. Cindy Markin, executive director of the World Food Programme, expressed concerns over the escalating violence, hindering aid workers' efforts to reach communities in need, coupled with dwindling donor funds. Markin revealed that the humanitarian response plan for Haiti, totaling $674 million, is currently only 2% funding. And in the northern Italian city of Parma, inmates have launched a hunger strike to protest against substandard sanitation and overcrowding in prisons, joining a series of demonstrations sweeping across the country's correctional facilities. These protests coincide with a concerning surge in cases of suicide and self-harm among prisoners.
Prisons across Italy are facing protest action, including beating on cell bars or refusing to work or eat. Meloni's hard-right government has bonded by threatening to make protesting no parallel in any other Western democracy. The prospect troubles legal experts like University of Milan's Angela Della Bella, who say the real problem is overcrowding and understaffing, making it difficult to access health.
Especially in overcrowded prisons with no opportunities for rehabilitation, it does not reduce crime. Statistics show that those who experience a detrimental detention situation to their dignity are not rehabilitated. The cultural message that needs to be conveyed is that more prisons do not security.
A guard with 35 years experience said problems were growing in managing inmates who are mostly migrants, unable to speak Italian and still awaiting trial. Italy's prisons housed almost 61,000 inmates at the end of January, 10,000 more than the official capacity, according to data from Antigone, a prisoners' welfare organisation. At the same time, there is a shortfall of almost 7,000 guards. Meanwhile, suicides in Italy's prisons have increased to 21 this year, up from 9 at the same stage of 2023. Antigone's data shows. Here's their president, Patrizio Gonella, on the new security bill.
It is essentially a constitutional setback. It is a return to the past. An erosion of the rule of law slowly progressing in areas where we are not accustomed to seeing such interventions in criminal and immigration matters.
Andrea Del Mastro, Italy's junior justice minister with responsibility for the prison system, declined to comment on the proposal to criminalise passive resistance in jails, but said prison misconduct in general cannot be tolerated.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Electoral Reform Coalition Public Relations Officer Washburn Coffey laments that the DLP regime has failed to meet several promised deadline dates
and
for implementing a comprehensive electoral reform.
Big Station, Q90.
A United Nations agency warns of a looming imminent descent into severe hunger crisis in Haiti, which coincides with Prime Minister Ariel Henry's resignation on Monday. And prison inmates have initiated a hunger strike in Italy due to inadequate sanitation and overcrowding in prison facilities.
Local.
Adding to a series of protests across the country's prison facilities.
Q95D.
I've been your presenter, Fidison Valman.
Top of the hour news.